I'm not the kind of a man who scares easily, Dirk. But the men under me are different. And someone's playing on the natural fears they're all feeling. Either find the man who's committed these murders, or we're in for trouble.
Passage of the Tangmar. The story of a ship and its cargo of death.
I don't want to add to your troubles, lad, but if nothing worse happens, I'd say we stand to lose some of the crew when we get to Papeete. They're not going to stay aboard a ship with a killer on the loose.
Chief Engineer Cregan had come to my cabin aboard the Tangmar shortly before midnight on our 11th day at sea. At the most, we were only 48 hours from Papeete, and the news that the crew were restless meant that I had to find the man or woman who'd killed Miller and Lee Blake very soon. Once we got to Papeete, it looked very much as if I was going to have to arrange with Captain Goddard that no one was allowed ashore. I couldn't afford at this stage to give the murderer a chance of jumping ship. I had a fair idea who was at the back of it. Seaman Jones, the ex-steward who tried to knife me a few days out from Sydney. Since then, Jones had been given almost every unpleasant job Goddard could find for him. And I was willing to bet that this was one way Jones had devised to square the account. I suddenly realized that Cregan was still speaking.
And there's another thing, Dirk. I hope you don't take it too badly. You remember my outburst on the bridge during boat drill. Well, I'm sorry about that.
Oh, forget it. I don't blame anyone for being edgy. I'm getting that way myself.
Do you have any ideas at all?
A few. They don't seem to lead anywhere. Look, Chief, let's leave it for tonight, eh? I'm going to try and get some sleep.
Why, sure, son, sure. I think I might have that drink before I go.
Well, I'll join you, Chief. About four fat fingers.
Right. You know, until now, I would have never believed it possible, Dick, that a man could kill two people and get away with it. Not leave a trace.
Well, I agree, but if Lee had only lived a few moments longer, I'd have had the killer's name.
Here.
Thanks.
Well, whoever it is fell for your bluff that you knew his or her identity anyway.
Yes, Chief, and Lee died because I thought the killer wouldn't show up.
Aye. I wonder how he feels.
Who?
The killer. Knowing that he made a mistake.
I don't think this particular killer will let that worry him.
He or she is obviously determined to prevent you continuing your investigation.
And I'm equally determined that I won't be stopped.
Here's luck.
Thanks, Chief. I can do with all the luck around the place.
Well, I'll be getting back to my engines. By the way, Dirk, I don't want it talked about all over the ship, so forget what I said, will you? Just forget what I said about my son.
Of course.
And they all like to think I live only for those engines. Let them go on doing that. Means I get better results out of them.
What was his name, Chief?
Funny thing, you know, she wasn't worth a brass farthing. But the boy, he was everything you could wish for, Dirk.
How did he die, Chief?
She even changed his name. Went back to using her own maiden name. Cregan wasn't good enough for her. What were you saying, Dirk?
Nothing. It isn't important.
Ah, fine. Well, good night. I'm afraid that when your boy's dead, engines aren't much consolation.
Oh, it's hard to believe on a morning such as this that there's anything wrong on the Tangmar, Doctor.
Miss Fedorov. That is, Lona. I've been thinking a good deal since we last talked together, and... look here, we've both got ourselves involved in something we don't really understand.
You mean us?
I wasn't thinking of that so much, but... Lona, I know I'm going to sound like an old fogey, but... you don't have to go on... how do they call these things? Keeping me company and...
You really are old-fashioned, Martin, aren't you?
Yes, I suppose I am. But what I'm trying to get at is this. Well, between here and Jamaica, I'll do everything in my power to protect you, to see that you reach Jamaica safely, but I... well, I don't want anything in return.
What?
No, I apologize if that sounds offensive. What I mean is...
You think I'm throwing myself at you because I'm frightened, don't you?
No, I'm... I'm under no illusions about myself.
Or me, apparently.
Oh, but I didn't mean that.
Then what did you mean?
Well, you're, as I said, you're a very beautiful woman, and it would be easy for a romantic old goat like me to be... well, to be carried away.
Doctor... Martin, don't be afraid of me. Or yourself. I make no demands on you.
Well,
I know what it is. You cannot rid yourself, your mind, of the stories you've heard about me. That so calculating Ilona Fedorov. Isn't that it?
No, I never listen to gossip.
Oh, how pompous you are. I wish you would laugh a little more, Martin. You look very young when you laugh.
Hmm. Not young enough, I'm afraid.
What are you afraid of?
Myself, mainly, I think.
Why?
Well, you see, I can't help being flattered with anyone so young and attractive. You would appear to prefer my company.
And... oh, I'm not so young as you believe.
No? Well, I lead a very well-ordered life, Ilona. Very exciting, I suppose, but, well, I'm used to it. Surgery, a club, a round of golf, that kind of thing, and... look, what I'm trying to say is... don't become part of it just to... well, just to decide that you've had enough and laugh.
Martin, I know what you're trying to say.
Do you? Wish I did.
Shall I say it for you?
What am I trying to say?
That you are very much afraid you have fallen in love with me. And you're trying to get round to saying it without using those words. Because if you do use them, you are scared that I might laugh.
I suppose I must seem an awful old daughter.
You seem nothing of the kind, and you're not to talk like that anymore. Come on, let's finish our walk. Will you think me very forward if I take your arm?
Hmm? No. No, of course not, Ilona.
Oh, suddenly this morning I do not care about anything. Except being with you, Dr. Martin Lawler. Suddenly I'm happy for the first time in almost as long as I can remember.
Quartermaster, what the devil's wrong with you this morning? That's the second time you've wandered off your course.
Sorry, sir.
Well, watch it, will you? I want to reach Papeete, not the South Pole.
Sorry, Skip.
And don't call me Skip. I'm beginning to think a little more discipline on my bridge might be a good thing. What are you laughing about, Kendall?
Oh, nothing, Skipper.
I should have thought you'd have more to do than loaf around up here.
Skipper, just at the moment, I think I'd be prepared to smile at anything that took my mind off Lee Blake.
No further news?
No.
Well, at least the weather's fine. We reach Papeete tomorrow at noon.
Have you spoken with the chief engineer at all?
Yes, I have. Cregan must be going soft in the head. Well, the men are grumbling, they're not up to anything. When they become silent, you start to worry. Anyway, it's easy enough to make them happy again. Just find that killer, Kendall. That's all it needs.
Look, Skipper, I didn't have much to go on before, but since Colonel Hacking's message came through that Slavin's killer has been arrested and had nothing to do with the Wehrman estate, I honestly don't know where to start. Yet I'm sure there is a connection. I'm sure of it.
Then for Pete's sake, find it. Isn't that what the Blake Shipping Company's hired you for?
Oh, okay, but if I don't find him before we reach Papeete, I want you to do something for me.
What?
No one's to go ashore. No one. Crew or passengers.
Are you out of your mind? Are you...
No, I mean it, Skipper. Every person aboard the Tangmar remains aboard, including you.
Now, listen, Kendall. I put up with...
Supposing you listen, Captain Goddard. In one breath, you want this murderer found. In the next, you're hauling off and doing everything you can to prevent that happening. Can't you see that if anyone's allowed ashore, the murderer might escape, disappear, like that?
I can't say I'd mind. It would mean that the rest of the trip would be trouble-free.
But... by the Lord Harry, I think you've got something.
What?
Don't you see? If the killer intends to get rid of all the beneficiaries, then he's got to work fast. Before we get to Papeete, because he knows as well as we do that with the things that have happened aboard this ship, there'll be a police guard on the Tangmar from the time we arrive.
I don't
see... Of course you do, man. The Tangmar probably won't be permitted to leave Papeete, and you know it, while there's a murderer aboard. So that means that if our theory is correct, in spite of Slavin's death having nothing to do with the Wherryman will, that the rest of the beneficiaries have to die tonight.
Yes, I see what you mean.
But... I want a curfew applied to all passengers. I want a double guard outside their cabins all night long.
All right, but...
I don't think we'll be getting that much sleep, Skipper. Tonight, we might just catch the fellow we're looking for.
All right, Kendall. I'm with you all the way. If it means that we can solve this thing tonight, then I'll take any steps you recommend.
I'll get below and make arrangements now, Skipper. And by the way, I think we might let Cregan in on it, don't you? Between the three of us, we might just pull it off.
If you can drag that Scot away from the engine room, I'll be surprised, Kendall, but try by all means.
Well, he's as anxious as we are to trap this killer.
He can't be. He doesn't know yet that if we don't, no one's going to be allowed ashore at Papeete.
All right, then I'll tell him. See you later.
If there is another killing aboard ship tonight, I intend to resign this command at Papeete. I've had enough. Quartermaster! Suppose you stop using your ears and use your eyes. You're off course again.
Once again, I had a chance to arrest the killer of Miller and Lee Blake. It was a long chance, I knew, but the time had come for long chances. On this passage of the Tangmar.